Let's stay there. Ken, let's stay there. I want to go back into that song. Doug, will you bring up the cross has set me free? Oh, the cross. The cross has the power, church, to set people free. Free from what? Free from sin, free from chains, free from addiction, free from guilt, free from shame. Does anybody here need to be set free today? You know, I'm reminded of this story of one of Jesus' friends that really need to be set free. See, his name was Lazarus, and he was bound up in a tomb because he had died. This really, really good friend of Jesus. You know how we sang that we are a friend of God? Lazarus, this man, was a friend of God. And so Jesus comes. We see this amazing story. Look it up in John 11. It's wonderful. But towards the end of that story, Jesus is with Mary. He is with Martha. He is in front of the tomb. He is in front of the very thing that is keeping his friend bound, that is keeping his friend in chains. Jesus, deeply moved, he came to the tomb, and it was a cave with a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And then Jesus tells Martha, he says, "Did I not tell you? If you believed, you would see the glory of God." Do you remember the moment when Jesus said, "Take away the stone" in your life? Or maybe you're here today and you're waiting for that moment. You're saying, "I have this stone that's holding me in. Jesus, would you take it away?" And so they removed the stone of the tomb that had the dead man Lazarus in there. And Jesus, it says, he cried out with a loud voice and he said, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who had died, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, he came out. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." You know, church, when we are under the power of sin, when we are in our chains, we're not just chained up inside of a tomb. We are dead in our sins. And it is not until Jesus comes and he says, "Lazarus, come out," that we can be made alive together with him. I remember the day when he came up to my tomb that I had dug and the chains that I had put upon myself. And he said, "Take away the stone." And he said, "Michael, come out." Has that happened in your life? Can you remember that day when he came up to the tomb? When he said, "Ron, come out." When he said, "John, come out." When he said, "Gary, come out." Can you remember that day? Or maybe, just maybe, you're sitting here today and you're saying, "I have never heard those words before. This tomb is still closed. I have never heard Jesus call me." Well, can you hear him? He's calling you today. Or maybe you're sitting here, maybe you remember hearing those words so long ago, but then those chains that you thought were broken, they seem to just kind of come back up in life. And it seems to want to pull you away and drag you away from Christ. Do you hear Jesus saying, "Take away those stones"? Do you hear Jesus saying, "Break those chains"? Do you hear Jesus saying, "Come out"? Come and be with me. Do you hear that? Church, would you pray with me that I want us to go back into this song? We sing, "Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you do not leave us in these tombs. You do not leave us bound by chains. You do not leave us, God, in the midst of our sin, in the midst of the struggles that we bring upon ourselves. No, Lord, you come. You roll away the stone. And then you bring us out, oh God." Lord, would you do it again? Right now, Lord, I can't help but think that there are some in this room, God, who feel the chains of sin, the chains of guilt, of shame, of anything else that are pulling them down. Lord, would you break those chains? Would you say, come out from that stuff, Lord? Lord, I can't help but think there are some in this room who have never heard your voice before. Would you call out to them, God? Would you tell them to roll away the stone? Would you say, come out of your sin, come out of your guilt, come out of your doubt, come out of your shame and be with me? Would you do it, Lord? Because, Lord, only the cross can set us free. Only the blood of Christ has the power to set us free, God. Only the resurrection. When you came back from the grave, only the resurrection has the power to conquer death within our lives. And so, Lord, would you call out today? And would you bring another one out, oh God? Would you bring another one and then another one and on and on and on, God? Would you bring a mass exodus out of the tomb, Lord? And would you bring out the church, God, so that we can be with you and we can see your glory? Would you do it, God? Would you do it, God? Church, let's stand and let's sing this song one more time. And as we're singing, think of the tomb in your own life. And I want you to listen. And I want you to hear Jesus call, come out.
That's what happens when one of the pastors that enjoys preaching up here doesn't get to preach today. He just comes up and preaches. And I love it, don't you? I do, I'm just saying. It's a great word. Great word, Michael. Excellent worship. Shamaria's gone. Shamaria, that's okay. I wasn't going to make you do anything or ask you anything. I only moved that microphone up. There's something you don't know about her. She can sing. She comes to our small group. I'm so glad because she's young and we're all really old in our small group. She gets these songs of the Lord, and I want to encourage you. I want you to feel free. I want you to be set free. To do what God is doing in you and sharing that with us. And not forced, not a forced thing, you know, here's Shamaria. It's not like that. But they have a guy like, you know, so many of these musicians up here they're so multifaceted, you know, and they have, you know, Jeremy plays drums and he plays bass and he plays lead guitar and he sings, and just people shouldn't really have all that talent, I don't think, but he does. And Troy, same way, you know. And Andy, same way. Just love this church. I just want to encourage you. I'm going to have Ken. Let's pray for the children a little bit, and then I want you to just stay up here and just kind of share with us about this night of soaking, okay? Because that's important. Something I think we'd like to kind of begin here. Today, after the children are finished being taught, and I'm finished in here, I want to bring everyone back together in here, okay? And And what we're going to do is, this is Andy and his family's last Sunday with us. But we want to celebrate, okay, as much as we can. We do. We want to celebrate. And we were trying to find banners, you know, so long, or been good to know you, or good riddance. Good riddance. Or there were a few others that my wife said, yeah, I can't get that. So, hubby, they're saying to you, da, 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 da. Anyway. So, he will not be far, but we want to recognize him formally in front of everyone, and then we will pray over him, and then we will head to the hospitality area where we have a bit of a reception for you, for your family. You will notice that Kimberly is not here. She had major surgery this week. And I've got to play a little something underneath me here, Ken, because I don't want us to lose this. How about that stand in awe of thing? And we may tack a hymn on it or something, you know. Maybe. I don't know. I know. This has been a week of miracles. We start a series on the Holy Spirit today, a 9-part series that will go through August and September. How tragic it would be to teach and preach on the Holy Spirit and not receive the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you have already broken out with some sort of sweat, just the thought of that, okay? The issues that we have, I believe personally, with the Holy Spirit, the filling and baptism of the Holy Spirit, is typically wrapped up in the various experiences that people will have with the Holy Spirit. And to be wrapped up in experiences is, don't do that. Don't reject saying, come Holy Spirit. Because you've seen this or you've heard this and you think, I don't want that. It's not about experiences. It's more than that. I'm telling you, it's more than that. I came to Christ. No one comes to Christ apart from the Holy Spirit of God drawing him or her. That's what the Scripture says. So that's the only way we can know Jesus, know the Father today, is by way of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus were still walking around, we could know God the Father through his Son. But he's not. And he said, just before he left, he said, I'm going to leave. The disciples, they got the sweats, like some of you just did. And he said, but I'm not going to leave you alone. He said, you know how I'm with you now? Oh, I won't say better, but there's something more. And that he said, I'm going to make it possible for me to be in you. My Spirit, the Spirit of God that is indwelling me, I'm going to put in you. Yeah. So that wherever you are, I will be with you. As Ken talked earlier, if you go to the highest mountain, or you go to the depths of despair, of Sheol, you will find God to already be there. You know why? Because he's in you. So therefore today we can worship here, and we can worship in spirit and in truth because he's in us, and those across town can worship in spirit and truth. Why? Because he's in them, and those in China, and those in Africa, and wherever in this world there are believers that are worshiping. They can worship in spirit and in truth. So don't let this experience thing mess you up, okay? One of the things when Jesus, before he left, he taught the disciples how to pray, and he said, you can pray, come thy kingdom, be done thy will on earth as it has already come in heaven and been done in heaven. Now, is there any sickness in heaven? Anybody dying in heaven? Is anybody not loving in heaven? I think one of the reasons why Paul said in the last part of 1 Corinthians 13, these three abide, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is, why is that? I think the reason for that is because, you see, when we get to heaven, there will be no need for faith. Because our faith will become what? Sight. That's what all that stuff means that you read. And there will be no need for hope. You'll be face to face. You'll be face to face with the, oh, come on, man. I mean, I don't know if something's happened to something. I'm telling you. But there will always be need for love. Why don't we just start practicing that stuff here?
Amen.
Right now. I mean, why don't we do that? This has been a week of miracles because we can pray all that stuff that is the fixed order in heaven. This is what Jesus said. That's not what I said. This is what Jesus said. He said, you can actually pray all that is fixed in heaven, let it come here on earth. Now, sometimes we see that happen. We see that happen. This week has been a week. Can I share with you three things that have happened this week? Some you know, some you don't. First of those is chemo surgery. This thing that she had, that had to come out, came out, and she's doing great. I'm a little surprised she's not here. I'm surprised she didn't participate in her own surgery. Well, I guess she sort of did, didn't she? I mean, she's a nurse I'm not trying to be really goofy with that. Can I tell you what happened to Barb Bunton? She had quintuple bypass surgery. Now, Barb is not always here. She hasn't come along all the time. She works at Goodwill Industries down here, and every time I pass it, I always pray for Barb. Often the reason why Barb is not here is because, I tell you what, sickness has had a heyday in her family for the last 10 years. With her husband, Henry, he pretty much has a whole wing of University Hospital that's the Bunton wing, because he's had so many surgeries and heart surgeries and you name the surgeries. He's had him from head to toe. How old's June? Anybody remember? She's 93. So June is Barb's mom. You remember a few years ago, some of you were here, most of you were, when this horrible hurricane came north on the eastern seaboard, and it developed in this nor'easter thing, and water came crashing in, and Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, you know, he caught all kinds of flack. You remember all that stuff. And, well, her house was, she lived somewhere where it flooded. And like inner city. I mean, it came inland kind of deal. And no power. 93 years old. No power. She wasn't 93 then, but she was late 80s or maybe early 90s. No power. No air conditioning. No food. No running water, all the stuff that people need to live. And you stepped up and you did some things, and we sent stuff there, monies and materials and different kinds of things. And so it was great to meet June again, to get to see her. I hadn't seen her for many, many years. I was at actually just many years. And she remembered me. I remembered her only from the standpoint I remember she was just as supercharged then. I just remember she was just so full of spunk and everything like that. Well, she's got the spunk now times 10. And she came in with her walker, just full of Jesus. And of course, before surgery, they wouldn't allow us to put any oil on her. I took anointing oil and I let her smell it and everything like that. And then we prayed over her. Well, she had a very successful surgery. Let me tell you what happened last night. That's what's on. That's the miracle here. So last night she tells me of June. She says, I got to tell you what happened. June, and you guys might know the story. June came in and she's 93. And she walks into room 16 at the cardiac intensive care unit, the University Hospital. And, you know, with all of the tubes and the whole thing and very, you know, lethargic, keeping Barb quiet and all that stuff. And she says, and June says, New York. I can't, where's Victor? He's recovering too. He's, yeah. So anyway, he had surgery this week too. From New York. So, blah, blah, you know. I want to put some oil on you. And so she said, I just wish I had brought my oil. And so she opens up her purse. I'm saying this is a miracle. You were in there with... She opened up her purse and she was rummaging around, and all of a sudden, something fell out onto the floor. Clang, clang, clang. I thought, what was that? And so she reached down, and then God just absolutely moved into the room. And she picked up this vial that her father, June's father, 1800s, June's father, he was this Holy Spirit filled, jacked up with God preacher in the spirit of Smith Wigglesworth. If some of you know of Smith Wigglesworth of days gone by, I mean, this guy was unbelievable evangelist. And he used to go around and he would pray for people and he'd anoint them with oil and they'd get healed and they'd get saved. I mean, this guy was just ramped up for God. And the vial of oil that he used to use that June had not seen in 40 years older than she was, fell out on the floor. Didn't know it was there. She says, well, what is that? And so she took that oil and she anointed Barb with oil. And I'm just telling you, you can believe what you want to believe. But I'm saying somehow that oil got there. She didn't know it was there. She said, I haven't seen that oil. And, you know, she just went and she says, where did that come from? And all of that kind of deal. You've all prayed for Bobby Muff. This is miracle number 3. I'm holding here the pathology report from my dear friend, Dr. Juan Jose Pineda. Bobby has been having difficulties for about 8 months now. Same age as our dear Mark Wright. When Mark first had this horrific diagnosis, Bobby had a procedure done this past week. Can I read to you what Dr. Pineda said? Dear Robert. Who?
Not me.
It's your father.
I want to let you know the results of your recent test. As you know, we removed a polyp from your colon. The pathology report was negative. Negative for any cancer. I have enclosed a copy of the pathology report for your records, for your future reference when scheduling your next colonoscopy. I've circled all the times where it says benign, 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 benign. What a miracle. You've received a miracle, Bobby. I just want you to know that you've received a miracle. What a great VBS we had. Our kids heard stories about Jesus seeing a blind man and seeing a woman at the well and just on and on. These miraculous stories. They heard the gospel every time they sat under Julia, under your tutelage. And as they made crafts and as they ate snacks, they heard the gospel. They tasted the gospel. That this is such a good God that we serve. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe. I'm believing that there are going to be children today. This is a miracle that's not yet to happen, but I'm believing it's going to happen today, that there are going to be kids in just a moment after we take our offering. We're going to dismiss them, and they're going to hear more stories about Jesus. They're going to hear about Paul and Barnabas on mission. And they're going to hear the gospel again. Will you join me in praying for those kids to be saved today?
Yes.
Would you join me in praying for that? And for children that need to be healed, would you join me in praying that those children will be healed today? Many of them, some of them come from very difficult situations at home. Would you pray with me that God's Holy Spirit might come and rule and reign in their families, that moms and dads will get saved, that grandparents will get saved? Would you pray with me in that? In popcorn fashion, this is always a little scary. If you have a prayer right now for those children, would you stand where you are and just pray? Don't pray, don't go on forever, but just pray. Pray a prayer. Anyone at all. We'll wait. Let's wait. Let's just wait, okay? Let's don't hurry here. One of the things that you've seen probably in the bulletin, we're waiting on other parents to come back in and stuff. So there'll be a little bit of activity and stuff like that here. You know, let me just say this. If you are a guest, one of the things I love about Center Point Church is that every meeting is different. And we have a variety of pastors here that all preach in their own way, and I love it. And these are honorable men, God-called men, and I love all of the variety, and I'd like to see even more variety, to tell you the truth. And one of those is this guy over here, and he said he was an associate pastor. I say no to that associate stuff. Just drop all that stuff. He's one of our pastors. And three people are excited. Yeah. Even your own wife didn't clap. tell us what's going on Friday night, and then I'm going to go ahead and speak here, and I'll bring you back up in a little bit.
Okay, so, real quickly, I was here on Wednesday nights, as I usually am, just playing behind the prayer, and the Lord just kind of spoke to me and just said, this church needs a night of soaking. What that means generally is that you come and you have a time of private prayer, worship, meditation, just to commune with God and let the presence of God just fill you up. You know, the Bible talks about streams of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. And so we need that. We need to be built up in the faith, and we need to be built up in the presence of the Lord. So this is Friday night. It roughly from 6 to 8. You can come when you want. You can leave when you want. There's not going to be words on the screen. It's very unscripted. And so you can come and you can have this time in a corporate setting with the Lord and just let him speak to you and let him build you up in the faith. And we encourage that and we hope for that. And if you can come over, hope that you would be blessed by that and helped and encouraged. So that's open to you. And I'll be up here on the piano most of the time until my back gives out. And then somebody's going to take over, and we're just going to have a great time worshiping and praying and seeking God. And who knows what'll happen?
Yeah.
So
right,
that's it.
Right. So I just want to encourage you all to be a part of that. Thank you, Pastor Ken. As I said earlier, in August and September, we're going to be teaching through the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think it's important that you understand that that's what it, I think, what it is about. If you'll look in your own Bibles right now, if you have Bibles, I hope you do, open them up to the book of Acts. And my guess is your Bible will say, most translations, if not all, say the same thing, the Acts of the Apostles. Well, I just want to say this, that without the Acts of the Holy Spirit, there are no Acts of the Apostles. We got nothing. Okay? The great 19th century Baptist preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, said this: without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind or chariots without steeds, like branches without sap. We are withered, like coals without fire. We are useless. Amen. Some years ago, I highlighted, as I was working through the Acts of the Holy Spirit, I highlighted, I found 9 what I call summary statements, and I highlighted those summary statements in my Bible. This has been years ago. And as Michael and I were kind of going over a few weeks ago, kind of where we wanted to go from the messages and in the messages on Sunday morning, and we thought, you know what, we want to do something about the church. There's going to be an invasion of about 40,000 students here in about a week or two, attending one of the various universities, and our children are coming back, parents are coming back from vacations, and it's kind of the last convulsions of a vacation. And we just thought, you know what, we need to do this. We need to talk about the power that is available to us in the church. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, I think I can safely say we can't preach, we can't serve, we can't love, we can't cut up bagels, we can't give out bulletins, we can't teach, we can't worship, we can't give, we can't do anything apart from the activity of the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to say this to tack on to what C.H. Spurgeon said, you know, if that's how lifeless it is without the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, the wind's blowing, the steeds are running, the sap is flowing, and the fire's burning.
Amen.
And we need the Holy Spirit. Right. We need Him. Every hour we need Him. Yeah. Oh, bless us. So Paul declared to the Philippian church in Philippians 1:19, it's the provision, or some of your translations will say the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I believe that's our greatest need. And I believe that it's our church's greatest need. Some months ago, my wife and I had the privilege of getting to hear and sat under Jim Cimbala. He's the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City. This amazing church. Most people do not know him, do not know of him, or do not know of the church. They do know of the choir, though, because Brooklyn Tab Choir has... I've lost track of how many Grammy awards that they have won for music. They have sung all over the world and in the greatest concert halls in the world. They've sung for presidents. It's just on and on. But the pastor, the husband of Carol Cimbala, who directs that amazing choir, this is what he said. He said, he is our, speaking of the Holy Spirit, is our church's greatest need. He is all pastors desperately require, and I would say, starting with me. We need something with the mark of heaven upon it. Too much of our religious life is made up of programs and human ideas, talents, and strategies. And while these have value, they pitifully fail to meet the need of the hour. What is missing today is something from heaven itself. Something from God, the Holy Spirit, that fills and floods our lives. Do you believe that?
Yeah. Amen.
Do you believe that? Told you of my own personal experience, and before we get into the text of the message, and I was already a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 8 years old, and I was at college. I had always been involved in church life. My parents, I don't have the horror stories that some kids have. And my parents, they didn't send me to church. They took me to church. And there I sat under wonderful teachers, wonderful Sunday school teachers. And still to this day, whenever I'm having my quiet time that I do every morning, still to this day, God will bring back to my remembrance different ones. Different teachers that I had that I don't remember specifically what they said, but I remember their names and I can see their faces even right now. I even had one whose last name was Christian. How cool is that? I mean. But then I was leading worship in a church. I was serving as a youth and music person at this church while I was in college. And it was a few miles away from my university where I went to college. And before our choir rehearsal, this church had a choir. It was located, I've told you this story, but it was located in a little town of Ashmore, Illinois. And really the only thing in Ashmore, Illinois was a John Deere dealership. It was owned by a deacon in that church. Unsaved deacon in that church. His brother was the mayor. Unsaved mayor. There you go. Yeah. The Ashmore was 202 people. The church did well to have, I don't know, 75, 80 people, something like that. This is actually when that was the first date we ever had, wasn't it, honey? I took you to a revival meeting at this church. And I always thought it was kind of silly that churches would schedule a revival as if they had something to do with it when God's the one who brings revival, right? And but they had scheduled a revival. And so one night before I met with the choir, I was downstairs. They were in the basement of this church. There was no electricity. They had begun building interior walls for classrooms just in case there'd be growth. I mean, a third of the town was coming to the church. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, if we had a third of the church, a third of the Columbia, Missouri coming to this church, I think we're going to need a bigger... We're just going to need bigger, aren't we? More. Maybe we'll buy Hearn's center up there. Anyway, so I was just worshiping. I wasn't singing "I Need Thee Every Hour," but I can remember this as if it had just happened to me 5 minutes ago. I was singing the great old hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And the next thing that happened, there was a presence. Such a presence. Well, God came. The last night of those meetings, the meetings were protracted. It just means they went on. The last night of the scheduled revival, place was full to overflowing, and there were 350 people that were in that little place. The night that Sally was there as my date, I think 75 teenagers gave their heart to Christ. Yeah. Hey, something like that. And that wasn't anything we did. It was just God came. And boy, I want to see that again. And again. And again. I want it for this church. I want it for the churches all up and down the street. I want it for every church that preaches the gospel in Columbia. And those that don't, I want it for them too.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit. So I just want to encourage you, if you're going to miss, please do everything that you can to be here some or all of the meetings for the next 8 weeks after today, as the men will be joining me to preach on the Holy Spirit. And may I just say this, you know, I told you earlier, don't get so wrapped up in the experiences. There are genuine experiences that come. I remember the first time Sally was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was always, it's just kind of funny. I see the exit sign back here and one over there. She would always go out. You know, some would call it slain in the spirit. I know that's bothering some of you already. But she just would go out, and she was always out underneath an exit sign. It was just funny. And I'm not trying to make a joke. I'm just saying it was funny in those days. And when the Spirit of God hit us there at Christian Fellowship where I was an elder and stuff, and I mean, it just, things just started happening, you know. And I remember we would gather as elders, and we weren't gathering to try to figure out what to do. It was more of let's try not to screw this thing up. Something's happening here, you know. And for the most part, I think we did. So that was kind of her experience. She's never really received a gift of tongues, okay, of tongues. I'm going to touch on that here in a little bit. And I know there are some persuasions that say, well, if you don't have that, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You just get your Bible and prove that to me, okay? So I'm just saying, let's be on an even playing field here, okay? And whereas me, on the other hand, I was in a prayer meeting in a denominational group that I used to be a part of, and I would gather with these men. I've done this ever since I've been in ministry. I would gather men together through the week, and we'd just pray for revival. We didn't pray for people to be, you know, we didn't pray for missionaries who are eating bugs out of a log in Africa. We were just praying for a revival, whatever that meant. And I remember God clearly came to me, and I won't go into it now, but He gave me the gift of tongues, of a prayer language in those days. Anybody got sweats? Some of you got the sweats. All right, some have already clicked off, I know. So, but it's not about that, guys. It's not about any of that stuff. And if we reduce all of what the activity of the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, if we reduce that to experiences, right. God help us.
Amen.
Okay? God help us.
That's right.
You know, you can get experiences in a lot of ways. So it's not about that. It's if you live by the Spirit, are you walking in the Spirit?
Yeah.
See, it's about walking it out. It's not about, oh, I've had this great experience kind of thing. It's about God's in me and I'm walking it out.
Yeah.
I'm a better dad. I'm a better husband. I'm a better worker. I'm a better pastor. I'm saying you can't be any of those things to the better apart from the activity of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm saying. I just am better. I'm a better grandparent or whatever. I'm a better uncle. I'm a better son. I'm a better daughter. I'm a better work associate. I'm a better coach. I'm a better baseball pitcher. I'm just better because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so don't reduce it to these experiences. Man, I like the experiences, you know? When I go someplace and eat, I want it to taste good. I don't want to say, well, I know I need this stuff my wife is feeding me. I know I need this stuff. You know, she gives me the teacher look when I want to have the something that's going to kill me. You know, it's going to heal up some vessels in my body. And then she gives me the teacher look. She's been retired for 5 or 6 years. She still, go ahead, do the teacher look. Yeah, so... She gives me the teacher look. And that translation, you need to order something different here, you know? So get you some of that stuff. And so it maybe doesn't taste all that good. But it's not about how the Holy Spirit tastes. It's not about the experience. It's about walking out the experience, the activity of the Holy Spirit. So very quickly.
Amen.
Very quickly. The Holy Spirit was promised by the Father. And so I just want to very quickly walk you through this. The Father's promise, if you're keeping a score, He made these promises as regarding the Holy Spirit. And we find it all the way back in the Old Testament. Of course, that's where the promises are. And there are a variety of passages. Let me just read a couple for you. One's found in Ezekiel 36, 26 and 7. Moreover, I will give you a new, that's what Ezekiel wrote. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit, capital S, within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances, meaning you'll walk this thing out. And then, of course, the one that is most oftenly quoted from Joel chapter 2 and verses 28 and 29 says, it will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Say, all mankind. All mankind. Doesn't just say for the super spiritual. Doesn't just say if you're going to have a certain kind of buzz. Say what it says. His spirit will be poured out on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, thank God. Your young men will see visions, even on the male and female servants. I will pour out my spirit in those days. So the promise has been made. It has been made. Now, fast forward to the New Testament. And days before Jesus' ascension,
Luke records Jesus' words in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Here's what he says, talking about the promise. "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you." The promise is from God. It's the promise of the Father that he's made to us. "The promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Stay in the city? What? And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, "Gathering them together, he commanded them," Jesus, "he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem," stay, but to do what? "To wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me." Stay. What? Wait. What? I'm ready to get going here. The promise has been made. Come on, man. What are you talking about? Stay and wait. That's why I think this Friday night soaking stuff can be so critical for us. Come and go. Come and stay. Wait. And don't wait. "Oh, I'm going to stay here until I get some, until it tastes good." No. Just stay and wait. Can't you? It's just, what was that like? I mean, just in your mind's eye, there they are in the place where Jesus told them, "No, just stay and wait for the promise that had been made." I wonder, as they were praying, you think maybe they were saying, I can almost hear him saying, "Come, Holy Spirit." Maybe there's a group back here in the corner and they're silent. "Come, Holy Spirit." And then there's a raucous group. I think, always look back over here for the raucous group, because that's where my friend Mark Thompson sits. Mark, God bless you, Judy. It's been a week of peace for you, hadn't it? Mark took his mother, they're from Vermont. Mark and he took his mom on a road trip to Vermont. And earlier today, he was preaching at his church. And so we prayed for Mark today. And then in Mark's fashion, he's in the car right now, coming right back. And probably going to drive it all in one day. You know, just know it. Maybe not. Okay. Well, anyway, so all I'm saying is that. So there's some maybe that are quiet back here saying, "Oh, yes, come, Holy Spirit." Can you hear him? And maybe back over here there's a ruckus. "Come, Holy Spirit, man, I need you, come. You've been promising me, come, Holy Spirit. They're coming to knock our doors out, come, Holy Spirit." You know, that's the ruckus group over there. Then there are others that are just, you know. Wonder what that's going to be like when he comes. It's the promise of the Father made. Cool thing is, the Father's promise was kept regarding the Holy Spirit, because we read in Acts chapter 2 and verses 1. I'm going to read, I think I've got two verses up here. I'm going to read the first four. "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place." And so, see, there they are, staying and waiting. "All in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind." And these are experiences, guys. A violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house. Say that with me. Whole house. He didn't just fill the raucous group. He didn't, who won it this way. He didn't just feel this over here is nice and quiet and silent. It wasn't just that. The whole house. Even that one too. "Where they were sitting, and there appeared," they weren't even standing, and yeah, going like that. They were just sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, more experiences. I went to a church one time when I was in Preacher Factory years ago, and they had murals painted on the walls of different scenes from the Bible, and there was one that was just, it was just scarier than all get out. It had all these people with fire sitting on their shoulders. You know, kids come in there and say, I don't want to go in there. That's something crazy going on in there. You know, just crazy looking kinds of things. I don't know exactly what it was. You know, you can, you know, you have your own opinions about that stuff. Tongues as a fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. Say that with me. Each one of them. And they were all filled. Say that. All filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't even like it when preachers ask me to do that kind of stuff. I don't know why I'm caught doing it right now. So I'm sorry. I don't like that. People say, oh, we're going to stand and raise our hands. I just want to sit on mine. So I'm sorry. Forgive me. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, this is the only time when that phrase is used, by the way, other tongues. It's actually a word. You've got your Greek New Testament there. It's actually a word that means own. Not so much other of a different. It's just own. Their own tongues. That's why people all of a sudden when Peter began to preach later on in chapter 2, that's why they could all understand in their own tongue. Their own tongue. Okay? So I think that's different personally than the other experiences that we find in the book of Acts related to speaking with tongues. I believe that's talking more about prayer language there. And we're not going to go there right now. But I think the Greek is very, very specific with that. It's interesting to me that the Father's promise that was made and kept then says over in verse 33 of the same chapter 2, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father, here it is, the promise of the Holy Spirit, He made it and He's kept it, He has poured forth this which you both see and hear. And so get the picture. Our Lord now is seated at the Father's right hand in heaven, but God has now sent what Jesus said even earlier, and I'll show you this in John 7 a little bit, what the Father had promised, so that, all right, now here it is. Here's the big so that through His power we can fulfill all of God's will, we can defeat every device of Satan and extend the kingdom of Christ here on earth. That's why the Holy Spirit. It's not so that we have some sort of buzz. I want the buzz. I'd rather have the buzz. I'd rather eat food that tastes good rather than the green leafy soupy stuff. Okay? I'm not disparaging. I say you're going to leave here saying, oh man, he just thinks I'm crazy for doing this kind of. No, you do what you want to do. Do what you got faith for. Okay? Really, I'm serious about that. So please don't even go there with me on that deal. So I say, come Holy Spirit. How about you? Oh, come Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And the Father's promise shared regarding the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:39, says this, for the promise, there it is again, four times now I've seen this word promise. For the promise is for you and it's for your children. For your children. And for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. You know, this thing was actually spoken of by John back. I'm going to take you here real quick. This isn't a part of any PowerPoint, but in chapter 7 and verse 37, same day, Pentecost. Same day is described here, but earlier, Jesus. Same day, Pentecost. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Pentecost, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And yet what we have in the acts of the Holy Spirit is the Father's promise made, the Father's promise kept, and the Father's promise shared with you, all of you, not just some of you, not just the raucous ones, all of you, all of us, with our children, with those that we don't know that we come in contact with, His Holy Spirit is for us. And apart from His Spirit, we got nothing.
That's right.
Just some good works. It's a good thing to do, good works. We're going to share some good works with Andy in just a moment. But don't we want the more? Don't we want all that God has? Don't we want that? I do. Jesus said earlier, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. You look at the endings on the verbs, come and drink. Brianne, you look at those endings. It's not just come once and drink once. It's come eskesto in Greek. And keep coming. It's a present imperative, it's subjunctive. Meaning that it will happen and it's probable, not it's possible. It's probable. It's probability happening. And pen eto, the last word in Greek in that John 7 passage. Let keep coming to me. Keep coming to me. Oh, come Holy Spirit. Keep coming. Keep coming to the Holy Spirit. And keep drinking. Keep drinking. Keep drinking. When you go to a water fountain, and you're in yesterday, I mowed, maybe some of you did, it was really warm. Thank God for the breeze. But I couldn't. We buy these cases of the water things. And I have a little place that Sally and I go, and we sit when we're just, you know, like this, and I can't get enough. She's pouring ice in, and I'm just keep drinking. I just keep drinking, okay? So it's not about she fills it up, and I go, one drink, set it down. Good enough. No, man, it's like this. I'm thinking, I want to pour that stuff on my head. I just keep drinking. That's what He wants us to do with the Holy Spirit. That's how His Spirit is to be shared with ourselves and with others. Yeah. Is that we don't just come once. Once is good enough. Are you kidding me? I experienced revival in that little church in Ashmore, Illinois. Man, I want to experience revival every day. Every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday. I want revival. I want the Holy Spirit. I want to keep coming to the Holy Spirit. Understand God the Father is only by way of the Holy Spirit. As I said a while ago, Jesus is no longer here in the flesh walking around. He's put His Spirit within us. So I want to keep coming. That's what Jesus said to do. That's the words of Jesus. Don't you want to be obedient to the words of Jesus? I do. So He says, if anyone is thirsty, keep coming and keep drinking. Keep coming and keep drinking. You get up in the morning and something isn't quite right. Keep coming. Keep drinking. Oh, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. That's where I want us to go. These next few weeks. Well, the Holy Spirit was given. The Father's promise is to be shared. For you and your children, for all who are far off. To which Luke gives us the first of his summary statements. I told you that I'd gone through my text years ago and I'd found these, what I call summary statements. I'm just going to read the first one. And Ken, if you'd just kind of begin to play something. begins in verse 43 and through the end of chapter 2. Just, if you want to, just close your Bibles and let me just read it to you. I don't think I have this on text. Maybe one of the verses, I don't know. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. That's why we buy things for these backpacks. Cindy, thank you for the singles and the leadership that you've given. That's why we get glue sticks and why we do all that kind of thing. It's not because we enjoy standing in line at Walmart forever. Although it does give me opportunity to share the gospel with people, it's pretty cool. By the way, that'll get you through the line at Walmart pretty quick if you start. Just kind of saying. All those who believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them all, sharing them all with all as anyone might have need, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father, have mercy and grace. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome this place. Do you know that? That's a good song. Can we sing that, Ken?
Holy Spirit.
Right here. Soak here for a while. God, to hear our prayer. As best we know how, we have been careful to teach. I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart have been found to be acceptable unto Thee, O God, my strength, my Redeemer. And so, God, my prayer simply is this. For this church, for myself, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. And as You come, Lord, this week help me to walk it out. Help me to be so different, so delightfully different, not weird, delightfully different, that men and women, boys and girls will see my good works and they'll glorify my Father who is in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.